Lord tonight in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight as we approach the last two chapters in the book of 2 Kings, Lord. As we finish this up, we're so thankful, Lord, for the study that we've had. And Father, tonight we do lift up Griff, Mary's son, and Lord Paula, his wife. We lift up Amber. We lift up all the family, Lord. And I pray tomorrow that you, as you always do, give me the perfect words and the right words from your word to share with them. And Lord, may it penetrate their heart and bring great comfort. For truly, we do know where Mary is. Boy, she is with you, oh Father, right now. Thank you, rejoicing forever and ever and ever and ever. So be with the family, Lord. And for little Chloe, we pray over her. She has scarlet fever, Lord, just touching her, Lord, and just bringing healing and keeping the whole family now away from any sickness and just covering that home, Lord, with your blessings. We pray over tonight the word that you've given unto us, Father. We pray and just give you great thanks for all that you're doing here at this place called Calvary Chapel. Indeed, O God, you have opened up the windows of heaven upon this fellowship, and you are pouring out a blessing in 2018. Oh God, that is more than enough. We love you. We praise you. We ask these things in Christ's name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn tonight to 2 Kings. We're in chapter 24 and chapter 25. Tonight we're going to talk about why Judah, the southern kingdom, why they went into Babylonian captivity. You know, to go off into captivity and be God's people is a pretty major thing. Amen. Did you know the word, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear, for example, is mentioned 15 times in the New Testament? Boy, you know, God wants his people, old covenant people, new covenant people, he wants us to have ears to hear, amen? That's so important. And so tonight, as we look why Judah went into captivity, remember that we left off with Necho, the Egyptian pharaoh or the Egyptian king, and he put King Jehoahaz in prison, and that's, of course, that's where he died. And he made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, the king, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. Now, with all that being said, he changed his name for two reasons. Number one, to show that he had power over the king of Judah, but he also had power over all of the land of Judah as well. Unfortunately, what he didn't realize is that as an Egyptian king, he, along with Syria, their power was now diminishing. It was coming to an end virtually because a new power was coming into the world, a power that is, matter of fact, the first superpower in the world, and that is Babylon, and then under King Nebuchadnezzar. So with all that being said, tonight at the hour of the judgment of God has come upon the southern kingdom of Judah. And even though the last time we were together, King Josiah brought incredible revival to the land, but it just is not going to be enough to stay the hand of God. Now, so Judah tonight, they're going to have a brand new master. It's going to be, of course, King Nebuchadnezzar there of Babylon. And they will be led into 70 years of captivity. And the reason is because they did not listen to God. Loved one, there is nothing greater than hearing God, listening to God, hearing God, and then doing what God wants us to do. Amen? You know, I was reading a story the other day about a wedding that was taking place, and the head usher had stepped outside. And when he stepped outside, he was literally looking into a big shrub, leaning over and listening. And so the dad who was giving away the bride came out and said, you know, what in the world are you doing? He said, did you know that your shrub has over 18 different cricket sounds in it? Do you know, I mean, first of all, why was he able to discern that? Because he listened. And also, he was an expert in crickets. Are you following me? But did you know that in the hearing of his natural ear, he could pick out over 200 different species of crickets just by the sound. Now, I don't know if that impressed you or not, but that's the only story I have for you tonight, okay? So, anyway, but that has a lot to do. Now, what I want to encourage you to do tonight is we're finishing up 24 and 25 of 2 Kings. If you will just jot this down, and it'll benefit you greatly, if you will study out Jeremiah chapters 25 through, you can go through even to 36, then you'll get a deeper picture and a better background of what we're going to cover tonight, because it is an impossibility to cover all of that in one single night. So with all that being said, let's look why Judah went into Babylonian captivity, beginning in chapter 24, verse 1. It says, "In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his vassal," or his puppet king, his slave, if you will, "for 3 years. And then he turned," and look what he did, "he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar." Now, 2 Chronicles 36:6 tells us that Nebuchadnezzar bound him in bronze fetters, took him into Babylon. Somehow, we don't really know, we're not told, even though he went into prison there, he went bound into prison, he somehow returned to Jerusalem, because we do know that he died there. And at that time, under Jehoiakim, then Nebuchadnezzar came in and he took looted most of the temple, not all of the temple, and he also took some of the people captives into Babylon. And one of the people that he took, as we will learn when we get into the book of Daniel, was the little teenager Daniel himself. Now, verse 2, "And the Lord sent against him raiding bands," or troops, "of Chaldeans and Syrians and Moabites and bands of people of Ammon. And he sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken by his servants, the prophets," meaning Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and so forth. "And surely at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them from his sight." And look at the reasons. This was from last week. "Because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon." I believe that Scripture is teaching the innocent blood there was the blood of the little children that were being sacrificed to Molech. He himself did the same thing. God says, "No, I'll not pardon that." Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim rested with his fathers, and then Jehoiachin, his son. How would you like to pronounce all those names? And then Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place, and the king of Egypt did not come out of his land anymore. For the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt, from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. So Egypt, along with Assyria now, the arch enemies of Egypt, and of course Egypt was trying to be an ally, it's over with. They're not a threat anymore. Man, Babylon is coming, and they are coming with a fury. But the problem is, again, Judah, the southern kingdom, no matter how God tried and pleaded with them, sent prophets unto them, they would not listen to the word from the prophets which was given by God. And so you know what happened? Since they wouldn't listen, Jehoiakim, it says, refused to listen to the Lord, but he was so wicked that Jeremiah prophesied that at his funeral, no one would even lament. There'd be no one weeping. There'd be no one crying. Matter of fact, it says in Jeremiah 22:19 about Jehoiakim, he says, "He shall be buried with the burial of a donkey." Isn't that amazing, God's word? It says that he will be dragged and cast out beyond the gates of Jerusalem. So he will not even receive a king's burial. He will receive a donkey's burial. I don't even know what that means. Do you? Have you ever been to a donkey's burial? No, I haven't. No, in other words, animals at that time, they were not buried like today. You know, I was looking the other day, I passed a place where it was called Peaceful Paw Cemetery. Are y'all with me tonight? So the animals, how were they buried then? Well, they were dragged out, you know, to the dump, and they were burned and so forth, and left to the birds. So no doubt, I'm assuming the Babylonians, somehow they killed him. They just left him unwanted. But it says in Jeremiah 36:30, listen to what it says. Jeremiah said, "Thus saith the Lord God concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out into the heat of the day and the frost of the night. Man, what a horrible burial. Why? You know why? He would not listen to God, and he despised the word of God. Jehoiakim was the 18th king of the southern kingdom. He was wicked. He was ruthless. He was heartless. He took advantage of God's people. He took their money and built himself a beautiful palace and so forth, while Judah, the southern kingdom, was right there on their deathbed. They're getting ready to be taken into captivity. He could care less. And here comes Nebuchadnezzar. He is coming, and his troops, boy, they will not spare women, men, children, no one. They are a ruthless bunch. Jerusalem will be covered with corpses. It's a horrible thing that happened, and God warned them. It says in Jeremiah 36:1 about Jehoiakim. Listen to what it says. It says that this word came to the king. It says from the Lord, saying, "Take a scroll of a book and write on it," God says, "all the words that I've spoken to you against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations. From the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day, it may be," listen to God now, it's God says, "it may be that the house of Judah will hear," will listen, "will hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, and maybe everyone may turn from their evil ways, that I may forgive their iniquity and forgive their sin." That is the incredible, unbelievable grace of God. Amen? He is so willing to forgive. He is so willing to and ready to do those things. So what do you think that Jehoiakim did with the scroll that God's word by Jeremiah had was written on it to him? Did he read it? Well, he did. It was read to him, actually. Did he repent? Well, let me tell you what he did. Jeremiah 36:22. "And now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month," that'd be December, "with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Judai had read three or four columns that the king cut it with a scribe's knife. He cast it into the fire that was on his hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And yet they were not afraid. They didn't tear their garments. And the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words, nevertheless," it said, "they begged the king not to burn the scroll." Listen carefully. "But he would not listen." He would not listen to them. He takes his little penknife. He cuts from the scroll. He is so arrogant. He's so filled with pride. He takes the word of God that's being read to him. He throws it into the fireplace, and he burns it up to pieces. He would not listen. That's why Judah went off into captivity. I wonder if he thought by destroying the scroll, it would cancel the doom that was written upon it. Man is really foolish, aren't they? I mean, you know, many try to change God's word, but changing God's word doesn't destroy God's word. People today, they deny God's word, but denying God's word doesn't make God's word lose any of its truth or any of its power. You see, King Jehoiakim, he tried to destroy God's word, but you know what? God's word destroyed him. God, whatever God says is always going to come to pass. He would not listen. Babylon is coming. Now look at verse 8. It says, "And Jehoiachin," now that is Jehoiakim's son, "was 18 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was such and such." And it goes down, "he did evil." Oh, it's all right. "In the sight of the Lord, according to his father had done." Now look what happened. "At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged." And now the first deportation is going to take place. "Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city as the servants was besieging it. Then Jehoiachin, king of Judah, his mother, his servants, his princes, his officers, went out to the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon, in the 8th year of his reign, took them," or him, "prisoner." And look what happened in verse 13. "He carried from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord, all the treasures of the king's house, and he cut into pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord. And it says, as the Lord had said, and also he carried into captivity all of Jerusalem, all the captains, all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives. Matter of fact, Ezekiel was carried away at that time too. And there, all the craftsmen and all the smiths, none remained except the poorest of the people. And he carried Jehoiachin captive to Babylon, the king's mom, the king's wives, his officers, the mighty of the land. He carried away into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. All the valiant men, 7,000 craftsmen, smiths, 1,000, and all who were strong and fit for war, these the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. All of that happened into captivity. All the people that were affected, all the people that were enslaved, because of one reason. Judah refused to listen to what God was begging them to do. They absolutely refused. And then in verse 17, it says the king of Babylon, look what he did. He made Mattaniah, that's Jehoiakim's uncle, king in his place, changed his name to Zedekiah. Now this will be the last king of Judah, okay? He's just, I think he's Josiah's third son. Now, it says, and Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, and he finally cast them out of his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. What does that mean? It means that he didn't listen to the prophets either. He refused to listen to the Lord. And you know what happened to him? Unbelievable. Let me read it to you from Jeremiah 38, 17. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes," listen to what God says, "you're going to live." It says you're going, not only you're going to live, but this city will not be burned with fire. Your house and all of your house you shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Babylonians. They shall burn it with fire. They shall not escape from the land. And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, "Well, I'm afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Babylonians, lest they deliver me into their hand and abuse me." And Jeremiah said, listen to his words now as I read, "They shall not deliver you. Please," unbelievable, "please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you. And so it will be well with you and your soul, and you're going to live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king of house of Judah shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon, the princes. And these women," meaning the women from your own palace, king, it says, they're going to be taken as well. "And your close friends have set upon you and who've prevailed against you. And your feet, they're going to sink into the mire, and they've turned sway against you. And so they shall surrender all your wives, all your children to the Babylonians. You will not escape from their hand, but you shall be taken by the hand to the king of Babylon, and you shall cause," listen again, "you shall cause this city to be burned with fire." You know, when you study out the prophets concerning the time that we're dealing with tonight, five times God encouraged him and said, "Listen, please surrender and you will be saved." One man could have changed the entire destiny of the southern kingdom, and yet he would not do it. So now it's too late for Judah. The nation is going to go into Babylonian captivity because they wouldn't listen. Look at chapter 25, the fall of Jerusalem now. "And now it came to pass the ninth year of his reign, the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, all his army came against Jerusalem, encamped against it. They built a siege wall against it, all around it. And so the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah." So that siege lasted 18 plus months, if you will. And it says, "And by the ninth day of the fourth month," look what happened, "the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land." You know why that happened? They didn't listen to God. You know, Lamentations is a funeral dirge, if you will, by Jeremiah about the city of Jerusalem after it was laid waste by King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. You know, it says there in Lamentations 2:20, the women are going to eat their offspring. How horrible. The children that they have cuddled. It says in Lamentations 4:4, the tongue of the infant clings to the roof of his mouth for thirst, and the young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. It was a horrible, unbelievable, devastating time what came upon the nation of the southern kingdom, all because they would not listen to God. Now listen, when a nation, any nation that has the Word of God, let's just use America, we have the Word of God, amen? Whenever a nation will not listen to God's Word and turns their back on God's Word, there's no hope for that nation. None at all. Listen, the Bible says in Psalm 11:3, it says, if the foundations, plural, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Foundations, plural. Ripping out one thing, one truth of God after another, removing all the pillars that keep a society stable. When that occurs, loved one, listen, you know, What can the righteous do? Well, you can listen to God, amen? Because he's going to tell you what to do. Now look at verse 5. Lengthy reading, so bear with me. And then we're going to make application. But the army of the Chaldeans, now that's Babylon, pursued the king. They overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All of his army was scattered from him. And they took the king, brought him up to the king of Babylon, Riblah. And they pronounced judgment on him. Now, they pronounced judgment upon him, the very judgment that God was trying to save him from and the nation from. Amen? But they wouldn't listen. So they took the king and brought him to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they pronounced judgment on him. And then they killed the sons of King Zedekiah before his eyes. In other words, they cut off all the heirs to the throne. And they took him, killed the sons, and then Zedek before his eyes, and put out his eyes, or literally they gouged out the eyes of Zedekiah. They bound him with bronze fetters. They took him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, so that would be August 16th, we have it documented, 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem. That is, all the houses of the great he burned with fire. All the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carried away captive the rest of the people who remained in the city and the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon and the rest of the multitude. But the captain of the guard left some of the poor of the land as the vine dressers and the farmers. So the king, he lost his crown, just like Jeremiah had prophesied to him. And here he is, this king. He stands blind. He is helpless. Man, he is chained. And you know what's so sad? It didn't have to happen. You see, he did not listen to God. Amen? That's all that he had to do. The last thing that he ever saw was his own children, his own sons, being executed before him. The Bible says in Jeremiah, I think chapter 52 or whatever, that he died in Babylonian, the king, in Babylonian captivity. So in July of 586 BC, Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. Listen to, again, the funeral dirge by Jeremiah in Lamentations 1. It says, how lonely sits the city, meaning Jerusalem, a city that was full of people, full of all kinds of activity, full of all kinds of life. Now how like a widow is she, meaning she sits all alone and she's helpless, she has no one to help her, who is a great among the nations, the princess among the provinces has become a slave. Isn't that horrible? From a princess to a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks among all her lovers, meaning the idols that they wouldn't repent of and that they loved. All of her lovers, she has none to comfort her, and all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies, and Judah has gone into captivity. Under affliction, under hard servitude, she dwells among the nations. She has no rest, and all of her persecutors, meaning the Babylonians, have overtaken her in dire straits. It is a terrible thing for the people of God to turn their backs on the God who loves them. Amen? And that's exactly what they did. Over and over, God called out to them, return unto me. You know, leave, get out of the high places. Quit worshiping under every tree. Come back to the living God. And you know what the Bible says that they did? They worshiped every false god they could find. Jeremiah prophesied and said unto them in Jeremiah 2:23, it says, Judah was like a wild animal in heat, unrestrained in lust for numerous false gods. Jeremiah 2:25, Judah wore out their shoes pursuing false gods. Why? Because they would not listen to God. There in verses 13 through 17, the temple's destruction, you can read that. It needs absolutely no commentary. But what is sad, Solomon's temple has stood now in our text tonight for nearly four centuries. And now what happens? The Babylonians, they go in there and they strip everything. All the beautiful things that Solomon had the craftsmen create, they're going to take all of it. They looted it all. They're going to take it all to Babylon. And to the Jew, to lose the temple meant that they had lost the presence of God. And so they were deep grieving going on. Now in verses 18 through 21, again, self-explanatory. I think if I counted correctly, there are 72 leaders of Judah. They are all going to bite the dust. They're all going to be executed by the king of Babylon. Look at verse 21. And then the king of Babylon struck them, put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. We don't see the horrible march. We don't see the devastation. We don't see the hunger, the famine. We don't see the people that are dropping by the side of the road during the march that are dying. All because Judah refused to listen to the Lord. Now, in verse 22 through 26, Babylon, they're going to come in and they're going to set up a provisional government in Judah. They're going to enlist a governor, if you will. And if you read, it's very self-explanatory. And then Ishmael comes in, him and his buddies, and they don't like what's going on. And then they assassinate the new governor that has been put in place. Now, it says there in verse 27, and it came to pass in the 37th year of captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, a new king now is there. In the year that he began to reign, look what he did to this king. He released Jehoiachin of Judah from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him more prominent seat to those of the kings who were in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments. He ate bread regularly at the before the king all the days of his life. And for his provisions, there was a greater ration given to him by the king, a greater portion for each day, all the days of his life. So after 37 years, this king, the last king there, he's in Babylonian prison. He's brought out. Maybe he's placed in like minimum security. I don't know. But even though all the other kings are there, he has preferential treatment, given a greater ration, sitting at the king's table, honor, a place of honor, and so forth. This is God's grace. Amen? That's what that is. Now listen, 2 Kings concludes with this incredible kindness being shown to the very last descendant of David. Man, God's grace is so incredible. You see, the descendants of David are going to continue, amen? They have to because of the promise that God gave David. Listen to this scripture now as I'm getting ready to make application. Jeremiah 16:12. It says, Jeremiah says, and you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart. Now listen to what he says. And God says, so no one listens to me. Did you know that listening to God for Israel especially, was the very foundation of the nation of Israel. You remember in Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one God." The word "hear" means listen, open your ears. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Lord says. In Deuteronomy 6, 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is one," again. And then in Deuteronomy 4, 1, it says, "Now, O Israel, listen. Listen to the statutes, listen to the judgments, listen to the word of God, that you may live." Do you know that God wants us to live? Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." That's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. Romans 10, 17 says, "So faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing the word of God." You know, whenever you read the Bible, you need to say, "I'm listening, Lord." What does it say about parents, for example, in Ephesians 6, 4? It says, "Fathers, don't provoke your children unto wrath," and so forth, "but bring them up in the admonition of the Lord." Parents, are you listening to that? I'm not beating you up. I'm asking you a question. When you look at the Word of God, are you hearing the Word of God? It's alive. God says, "Listen to me. This is what you need to be doing for your children." You know, the promises of God about those who hear God's word and listen to God's word and do God's word is unbelievable. That's this the year that God has given us. You know, "Bring all of your tithes and offerings into my storehouse, saith the Lord, so there be meat in mine house." You know, "Meat in mine house. And prove me now, test me now, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven upon you and you pour out a blessing upon you that you will not have room enough to contain." Amen? Oh, if I share with you Sunday what God has done for this church and some people in this church, and I might do that, if I share that with you, and if you can't see how God has opened a window upon Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, then you are not seeing, you are not hearing, and you are not listening. What a great day, great year that God has given unto us. But we have to hear the Word of God. We have to believe the Word of God. God told, the psalmist said in Psalm 81, 13, listen to what God says there. He says, "Oh, that my people would listen to me." Isn't that a strange thing? I mean, how many times, dad, mom, have you said to your kids, "Why don't you listen to me? Would you just listen to me?" You never do that, do you? No, all of your children are perfect. And you grew up perfect too, because your parents never said to you, "Listen to me." No, God says, "If my people," there's a groaning in God's heart. "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that you would walk in my ways." God says, "Oh, I would soon subdue their enemies, turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest wheat." In other words, lack and famine would be unknown to Israel and unknown to us. Amen? He says, "Oh, I'd have fed them with honey, the sweet things of God. From the rock," God says, "listen, I would have satisfied you." Satisfied you. Are you satisfied tonight? If you believe the word of God, if you hear the word of God, if you listen to the word of God, are you satisfied with it? God's promises are all true. When Stephen was standing before the Sanhedrin, the same people that murdered the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what he started out that long, incredible speech, the longest in the New Testament, if I'm not mistaken, in Acts chapter 7, verse 2. What did he say? He said unto the brethren and fathers, here comes the word, listen. He said, "Listen to me." And that word "listen" was referring to, if you don't listen, eternal life will never, ever be yours. No wonder Jesus cried out in John 5:24. Jesus said, "Most assuredly." Remember what "most assuredly" means? Amen. Good student. Amen and amen. You can't change it. Infallible, unchangeable promises of the Word of God. "Most assuredly, I say to you," meaning to everyone, here it comes, "he who hears, he who listens to my word, believes in me, and believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice. In order to hear, you have to listen. Amen? He says, they hear my voice. I know them. I know them because they listen. And then Jesus says from his own lips, they follow me. If you are not listening, you are not following the Lord. You hear me? So well, what do you do? I don't know. Well, you're not listening. No, listen. Jesus said, they follow me. What does that mean? It means that people who truly follow the Lord are those who hear, those who listen, and what do? They deny themselves. They take up their cross daily, and they follow, they follow the Lord. And the result of not following the Lord, what did Jesus tell us? They walk in darkness. You'll not have the light of life. See, Jesus told us there in Mark chapter 4, verse 23. He said, if any man have ears to hear, or let him listen. And Jesus said unto them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it'll be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. But whoever has, let him more will be given, I'm sorry, but whoever does not have, even to what he has will be taken away from him. Now listen, listening to God requires making time for God. Amen? To listen to his word. See, many people, you know what? Many people, they hear, but they never, ever listen. They never listen. You see, Jesus told us in Matthew 7:24, he says, therefore, I'm so sorry, whoever hears or whoever hears my word or whoever listens to these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. That's the kind of people that we want to be. Amen? There's a great danger in the church today, and that is the danger of well, it's the same warning that the author of Hebrews gave back there to the people of Israel. You know, and that is the danger of drifting away from the things of God. Matter of fact, why don't you just turn to Hebrews with me and look at chapter 2 as I get a drink of water here. Are you at Hebrews chapter 2? Okay, let's look at verse 1. He says, therefore we, let's just use us, the church, we must give the more earnest heed. In other words, more careful attention. Now, careful attention, though, to what? Watch this. To the things we have heard. The things that we're listening to, what we've heard. Why? Well, lest we drift away from what we've heard. You know, listen, the word drift away there means to let them slip. It's like if you when you get older, you know, your ring, you used to have fatter fingers or whatever, and you get older and you find out it just slips right off your finger. Anybody ever have that problem? Thank you for lifting your hand. God bless you back there. The rest of you are not faithful. Now, no, in other words, you don't even know it fell off, and you find it in your bed when you wake up the next morning. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it's talking about. It's unnoticed. Didn't even know that it happened. So when it says in the Word of God that a person is drifting away, it literally means that great loss is occurring, but while it's occurring completely unnoticed. It's like tying a boat up to the dock. But you did it in a careless manner. And though you tied it, you walk away, and where you tied it comes up, and the boat, if it's on the water, what happens? It starts drifting, and it keeps drifting and drifting and drifting and drifting. Did you know that drifting is enjoyable? When's the last time you, in the summer, and you just got into like a little boat and you sat back and laid back, put a pillow back there, man, had a little lunch, and you love the rocking, don't you? Well, Bill, I never get off my couch. I love video games. And no, and you just, there's something about the, and you don't, you're just comfortable. Well, that's what this is referring to right here. Loved one, listen to me. It's so easy, easier than you think, to drift away from prayer. It is so easy to drift away from attending church. It's so easy to drift away from truly serving God or giving to God or from following the Lord Jesus. It doesn't take much. Look at the church today. It doesn't take much at all. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not following Jesus, here's what happens. He loves you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. But he drifts out of your sight. He's going on. We're supposed to be going on with him. Amen? See, that's what it means when we're not listening to God. And we don't want to be drifting from that at all. Listen, I'll tell you something. You'll find yourself, if you're not following the Lord, here's what's going to happen. You will find yourself drifting into every current that the world offers. Man, you'll be docking here in the world, there in the world. That's just the way it is. The Bible says in James 1:19, let every person be quick to hear, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. But the truth is, we practice the reversal of that, don't we? We're quick to speak. We are quick to be into angry, you know what I mean? But God says, listen, man, be quick to hear. Make that your first priority. Look at verse 2 now. For if or since the word spoken through angels proved steadfast or true or reliable, every transgression, disobedience, meaning failing to hear the word of God because they neglected, received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect, not reject, but just simple neglect, okay? How shall we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed us by those who heard him. Neglect, you know what that word means? It means literally not to care. Not to care. Boy, listen, do you know it costs not to care? Neglect your body. No, don't care about your body. And does it cost you? Man, I'm telling you, don't brush your teeth. Does it cost you? Okay, well, I don't have any other examples. I mean, I'm just, you know. Do you understand? It costs you. Listen, and I'm going to tell you something. If you neglect your prayer time, it costs you. If you neglect studying the Bible, it really does cost you. Now, listen to me. The longer we neglect any of the things of God, the greater of the cost. Why? Because you drift right past all that God has for you in this life. I don't want to do that, do you? And we do that by failing to listen to God, failing to put it into practice. Satan loves a neglectful Christian. And he loves them. Why? Because he knows they're drifters. He knows they're drifting away from the things of God. And he'll do everything he can to assist you in drifting far from the Lord. Because he knows if he can do that, you're going to drift right past the grace of God. You're going to drift right past the provision of God. You're going to drift right past the door that God is opening up into your life. Amen? Because you're not listening. You're just drifting and so forth. And you're going to drift right out of the plan of God. Why? Because you do not listen to the things of God. No wonder Jesus told the Jews in John 8:47, he said, he who is of God, if you belong to me, if you're of God, listen to what? Hears God's words. They listen to God's word. But those who do not hear, well, you're not of God. Man, I think of the millions of people. Think about it. I mean, millions of people who have heard the word of God, the gospel being preached all around the world, and yet they hear, they listen, but they don't really listen. They just hear it, and it just drifts right away from them. And they slowly slip into eternity. Dear God, that's frightening to me, to live this life, and then this life is over, and there's no excuses once this life is over. There's no exits. You can't get out. You can't repent. You can't change your ways again. I mean, man, it is completely, completely over. You know, drifting is so quiet, so comfortable, but it's so deadly. Amen. You know, you can listen to friends and whatever talk shows or whatever, and you know, you have the choice of rejecting or accepting what you hear, but you do not have that choice really when it comes to the Word of God. If there's ever been a time to listen, it is today. It is 2018. Listening to where the discerning the times, knowing what God is doing, knowing whether to turn to the right or turn to the left or whatever, listening, having ears ready to hear, expectant to hear God's word. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight that we are a hearing church. We're not a drifting church. Lord, we are a hearing church. We are an expectant church. Lord, we love you. We're thankful that you're working in our hearts, working in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that you have indeed opened the windows of heaven upon this fellowship in 2018. I don't know what kind of blessing that you're pouring out upon us, the church, the families, all who are connected here. But Lord, I believe. You said, prove me now. A command. Test me. See if I'm not worthy. See if my promises are not real. Oh God, we believe. We're going to obey your command. Because we love you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Lord, tonight as we're gathered together as a family, maybe there are those that are here, or maybe just one that's here. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never asked him to be your Lord. You've never asked him to come live in your heart. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you. I pray if that's you, your ears are open and you're listening right now, that God wants to save you right now if you're not saved. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, this is only between you and God alone. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never asked him to be the Lord of your life, I beg you in Jesus' name, don't drift through this life. Come home to Christ right now. And you do so by just simply lifting your hand straight up and putting it right back down and say, Bill, please pray for me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want my sins forgiven, and I want heaven to be my home. If that's you, simply tonight, lift your hand high, put it right back down, and we'll pray for you right where you're sitting. You don't even have to come down here. Anyone tonight before I close out. Well, Father, I assume that we're all believers tonight. So, Lord, move upon them to invite unbelievers. Because, Lord, we not only feed, we fish at Calvary Chapel. I'm thankful that everyone is saved tonight. I'm so thankful for that, Lord. There's not anyone like you. Let us, by your grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, listen to you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Aren't you glad you're in church tonight? God is so good.